Do you know who was named the best putting mat in 2022 by My Golf Spy? It was the mats from Birdie Ball. It'll help you sink more putts and make more birdies with a Birdie Ball putting green, all in the comfort of your own home. Check out Birdie Ball online at birdieball.com. Birdie Ball is here to make golf more fun and accessible. Find out more at birdieball.com.
Welcome to Grilling at the Green After Hours, the conversation that took place after the show ended.
Hi, everybody. It's JT, and this is a special version of Grilling at the Green. Grilling at the Green is brought to you in part by Painted Hills Natural Beef. Beef you can be proud to serve your family and friends. That's Painted Hills Natural Beef. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to After Hours on Grilling at the Green. I'm JT, along with Ryan McCrae today from Links and Leisure T-Shirts. So let's start with some fun stuff and then we'll get back to some serious stuff. Okay. You up for that?
Let's do it. All right. Let's do it.
All right. All right. If we could put your golf skills to music, what would the music be?
Oh, Highway to Hell. How's that?
Okay. All right. All right. Been there. If you can play a round of golf with one of your golfing heroes, who would it be, Ryan?
I'd like to tee it up with my old man one more time. He passed a number of years ago, but I think if I had one round of golf to play, it'd probably be a tee it up with him again.
Cool. If you were to dine with a historical figure, who would it be and what would be on the menu?
Oh, gosh. Oh, Jeff, that is deep. gosh, I give me a Abraham Lincoln, a George Washington, and, give me a nice hamburger, and a beer and, you know, just cut up a little bit.
Sure. Sure. If we declared Ryan McCrae supreme leader of golf for one day, just one day, and whatever you decreed was so, it had to happen, what would you decree as supreme ruler of golf?
Bring a beginner to golf day. That without question. So a free golf day for someone who's never golfed before. I would issue that across the land. Everybody take a beginner to golf that day.
I think that's a great idea, man. Absolutely. Do you remember the first time you ever picked up the sticks?
I do. I hated it.
Did you?
I absolutely hated it. Yep.
If you could get a lesson, I'm not saying you need one, but if you could get a lesson from a touring pro or a retired touring pro, who might that be?
I'd probably go with Mac O'Grady. Yeah. If I had an afternoon to spend with instruction, I'd choose Mac O'Grady.
Okay, and why?
Well, he's his scientific approach to the game makes sense to me as far as moving the golf club within the golf swing, and everything that he's ever said or written is just I've been able to understand it makes sense to me. It's systematic, meaning you can apply that across different golfers, body types, skill levels, and it would still hold up.
Do you think, this isn't in my list of questions, but sometimes we cover this, Ryan, do you think that there is a big kind of dichotomy, if you will, in golf instruction, especially one of my favorite things to say is look at one of the golf magazines over a period of, three or four issues, and they might have four or five people talking about the same thing. Maybe it's your short game. Maybe it's pitching or putting or something like that. And if you read them, it kind of makes sense. If you read one particular article, it kind of makes sense to most people. But if you read all five articles, then you're scratching your head going, what do I do here? How do we kind of clarify that a little bit? I mean, there's no one perfect way, regardless of what people say, because people are built different. They've got different physical capabilities and all that. But sometimes I think we get a little so far off in the weeds that we run the beginning golfer, the new golfers, away. They can't understand it.
The great question. Yes, yes, and yes to all your points there. I think a lot of the times, you know, golf instruction, whether it's you know, in print or on YouTube or social media channels, you know, a lot of the instruction or tips or however you want to refer to them, I think a lot of it is good, viable information. But how somebody interprets that information and then tries to apply it to themselves within their, you know, their own understanding of it, I think a lot of it gets lost in that sense. So, you know, weight forward. Okay, well, you know, they may, the student or the reader may think their weight is forward, but maybe it's not really forward, or maybe they're getting it forward in the wrong way. So I think there's a lot lost in translation there. But kind of to that point, with beginners kind of getting off on the wrong track, I think a lot of people start with golf instruction. They think that, you know, before you can play the game, you got to go get golf lessons. And I don't necessarily think that's true. I think go out and play, hit a bunch of golf balls, go have fun with it, develop some sort of pattern. You know, and then once you have that pattern set, then you can actually address, you know, within with the instructor, you know, how to, you know, make things a little bit better or a little more efficient. But if you get off to a start where it's all these things that you're doing wrong, I don't see that as something productive, that's going to, you know, get somebody to follow the game, because you're starting out with all these negatives. There's plenty of time to fix things as you go along, and you're going to spend your whole life trying to do so, if we're honest. You know, but I really have always felt that, you know, golf instruction is great, but don't take it on too early. You know, learn how to conduct yourself on the golf course. There's other people out there. You know, the golf course is kind of society in a, you know, in a condensed version. And if you learn, you know, whether you hit it good or bad out there, but I think if you learn how to conduct yourself out there a number of times, I think you're going to be far better off than getting into instruction too early.
You know, I'll tell you a little secret. I did not have a golf lesson, a formal lesson. I'd been playing golf for 30 years. Not very well, but I had been playing that long. And then finally Bruce Furman and I got together at Langdon Farms. Bruce is a great guy, a really good instructor. We're close to the same age, and he started working with me. And I've had a couple lessons from some other people, and they were very, very good instructors. But for the type of golf I play and the fun I have with it, I never saw the need for a lesson, because I could hit the ball, you know, and I could putt pretty well. Short game, that's probably, I think, where people probably maybe need the most help, in my view, but I could be wrong there. But anyway, yeah, I think get out and play, start swinging that club. And
so, Jeff, do you mind if I ask you a question?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
So do you wish you had maybe taking golf lessons earlier, or how would you evaluate your process, or, you know, kind of road that you've traveled in golf? Where did you maybe make some mistakes with, you know, whether it's starting too late or getting instruction too late or trying some instruction that didn't work? I mean, it's kind of an open question there.
Yeah. I think, well, I started playing when I was sixth grade, something like that.
Okay.
Found some old clubs in the storeroom. My brother left. and a very few golf balls. So I was always, we lived on a ranch. So I was always going through the pastures looking for golf balls that I hit. And when I got to college, I bought my first set of good clubs. And because I had my first credit card. And so I bought a set of actually Golden Bears. There wasn't much made out of, you know, getting fitted in those days like that. You bought pretty much everything right off the rack. And I bought a club and a bag. I was living in Los Angeles going to school at the time and bought those and started playing a little more when I could. And then after I graduated from school and started working, and then I actually had time to be able to afford to go play more and do that. I think probably if I was to look back at it, I would say, you know, I probably should have at least gone to some clinics or something at that point. Because I played with some guys that were pretty good sticks, usually shot in the low 80s. They did. I didn't. And I think that back then, if I'd have got tuned up on a few things, I'd have probably been better off as far as scoring. The other thing I think was most important is, people don't want to particularly hear me, you know, drabble on here, if that's a word, but you have to learn to play the game too. You know, it's more than just going out and making contact with the ball. If you've got that, I think you've got a very good start. But, you know, looking at the course, looking at the hole, how am I going to get from point A to the ultimate goal here to the green so I can putt? And I didn't know any of that. You know, I would just hit it, go find it, and hit it again. And was having a ball doing it, Ryan. But I probably could have shaved, you know, 20,000 strokes off my scorecards over the years. Yeah. if I'd have had a little direction that way. Now, later on in life, I did that, and that has helped a lot. But if I was to look back, I would say, yeah, that and working on the short game, because I never had the yips. I just couldn't flat do it for a mm-hmm. long time, because I'd walk up there and I would either send it sailing across, you know, the green, and or buried it further in the bunker, or, you know, all those really fun things that we have to deal with. And I just had to learn to swing a little easier and pay attention to what I was doing.
Well, I think, to that point, just real quick, Jeff, and then I'll be quiet, but
no, it's fine.
What you described there, I think a lot of people go through in not learning how to play the game, which is, it kind of sounds silly because you're out there playing golf, so you're playing the game, but there's a lot to be said for grinding it out, and some would call it course management or whatnot, but
yeah,
I think the best thing somebody could do for a lifelong lifelong participation in golf is to play on the high school golf team,
right?
And the reason I think I say that is, if you're out there with five guys and your team is depending on you to shoot the lowest score possible, even if that's going to be a 90, for example, you know, five beats six, six beats seven. So for your teammates, you're trying to get the lowest score. And I think that's where you actually learn, even though it's an individual game, having the others depend on you. I think that's where so much of growing within the game itself takes place, is having those other people depend on you. So, you know, even though this putt's for bogey or it's for a six, the lowest score possible for your team, I think that's just I think there's a lot to learn that you can take forward with the game.
Oh, yeah, I would agree. I mean, because, you know, and I was very typical. You would go out and I would watch golf on TV. And if I saw Golf Digest or Golf Magazine or one of those, and I would read those articles and I would try to emulate that. And then once in a while, you would hit that magic shot with a 3-iron that would go, you know, 185 yards straight down the middle of the fairway, and you would go, wow, this is great. Of course, your next 15, yeah, I got it. And then your next 15 shots, not so much. But the point is, you get that magical feeling. Everything comes together, and it just, and it makes a different sound. I remember this, and then we'll move on to something else. But I remember this, I was playing in Scottsdale. This would have been back in, the mid-70s. And I was a kid, and I had my clubs, and I was playing with a group of guys. We all played about the same way, and my boss at the time, and I was behind them by about 10 yards, and they got out of the way for me to hit. It was a 3-iron, and I sent that thing sailing. It must have gone, you know, 90 feet in the air and just took off. And they, all of them turned around and looked at me, and they said, "What the hell was that?" And that's when I knew I was hooked on the game for good, because every round, pretty much, you get one shot like that. If you're just the average Joe American golfer, and you make that connection, and it sails off, and it makes that noise, and it lands where you want it to land, and it does all that. It's kind of like Michael Corleone in The Godfather, the third one, when he goes, "Every time I think I was out, they just pulled me back in." You know, so yep. That was it. That was it.
That was your moment that got you hooked. I that's interesting. I think everybody has one moment that they could draw to when they, you know, they can participate and play golf for X number of years, but they can, I think most people could probably recall one moment that, yeah, when they know that they got hooked. That's awesome.
Oh yeah. And I remember that, and I was hung over like a champ, from the New Year's party the night before.
Love it.
And I didn't feel very well, so I was very relaxed. You know,
perfect.
I was, yep, doing that. Okay, let's, Ryan, let's jump into a couple other things here that I overlooked in the regular show. Not only do you have the tees behind you, but you've got a design company that works with the tees and clothing. And then you've got some kind of a standard line too. Tell us about that, please.
Yeah, so at Links and Leisure, we kind of have three components to the overall company. We have our house brand tees, which you see some of them behind me here. So those are available on the website, and those are just our private designs, our, you know, tongue-in-cheek slogans, and hopefully thought-provoking. And then also we have, which I'm very proud of, and this kind of goes back to the 25-year mark that we talked about earlier. When I was originally thinking about these vintage golf t-shirts, you know, I also had the idea that, you know, in my opinion, a good t-shirt should cost $20. You know, it's just a $20 t-shirt. I think that was a fair price. And that was my thought 20 years ago. You know, let's make these things awesome, good quality, but it should be $20. So just about everybody can afford it. Here we are 25 years later. I still think that t-shirt should cost $25, and, you know, call me crazy, but it took a long time to be able to figure out how to do that, but we were able to do it. So we started a t-shirt of the month subscription service. We call it the T-Shirt Club. So it's a subscription service, just like you would probably think, but every month, if you're signed up for the membership, you get a different golf course t-shirt from around the country. So, you know, whether it's, it could be a dog track, it could be a public, a resort, a high-end private, you never know what you're going to get. But for $24.99, the $4.99 is not us. You know, if you're thinking, you know, you said $20, the $4.99 is not us. That gets it to you. But every month you get a nice, cool design from a different golf course from around the country. And so far that's been going really well. Those members that do have it, they get excited every month to see what they're going to pull out of the package. And, so that I'm real proud of that we're able to, you know, kind of hit that initial price tag that I had wanted to all those years ago. So I really take a lot of pride in that. And then the other part of our business, and this is for our business to business customers, but we actually created an online design studio where the golf professional, the merchandiser, the buyer, even the assistants, whoever may be involved in the buying process, but they can actually go on to the design studio and design their own t-shirts, even without having a background in graphic design. So we did the heavy lifting for them. We put the parameters up so they're able to go in there and control the overall output of their design, which the clubs have a lot of fun doing. And what we've seen so far is, they may have 10 golf staff employees build out a different design, and then they may vote on which one they like the best as far as which design they want to bring in. But, that's one of the things that I noticed early on with the custom stuff is that, everybody wanted to design their own shirt, and I don't blame them. I have a great time doing it as well. But when you get that back and forth, it tends to muddy the water a little bit. So we just decided, let's create the tools for these guys and gals to design their own shirt. Why should we have all the fun? So that Vintage Design Studio is also something that we're very proud of, and it allows them to take ownership in the design, have fun doing it, and order as needed. So it's not a hard sale from us towards them. So again, it's another something that we're very, very proud of as well.
Man, you got a lot of stuff going on, Ryan. A lot of stuff.
We do.
Very cool. Ryan McCray, folks, president of Links and Leisure, and that's linksandleisure.com. And you can find all the things Ryan was just talking about on there. And you can email him directly, ryan@linksandleisure.com. And I want to thank you for spending the time with us. I'm really glad I ran into you at the golf show.
Me too, Jeff. Me too. This has been fantastic. Hopefully I haven't come across as too much of a hacker on your show here.
No.
You've been great, but, not too much experience in this. I just make golf t-shirts, Jeff. That's all I do. But, I'm glad, that we were able to do this as well. And hopefully, your listeners, got a chuckle out of some of the points. Hopefully they were able to kind of connect on some of the interpersonal things that, about the game and whatnot that we've talked about as well. So I'm thankful that you found the time for me.
It's not a problem. Ryan McCray, folks, like I said, linksandleisure.com. We will be back next week with more Grilling at the Green. I guarantee it. Until then, go out, play some golf, have some fun, and most of all, be kind. Take care, everybody.